The devil's defeated. And he'll stay defeated if we walk in the love of God and the armor of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, another thought, just turn over here for a minute to Mark 4. I know we know all these scriptures, but you know, a lot of times we need to meditate upon them and feed upon the Word of God. It's our God, as He is. Go over to Mark chapter 4. This is the parable of the sower. And let's look at, I want to focus on verse 19, but let's back up to verse 14. It says, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown, where? In their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution ariseth, for what? The word's sake. So a lot of times persecution and affliction can come in a lot of ways for what we might consider external reasons or worldly reasons, but it's always what? It's the word's sake. It's trying to get the word out of you. Immediately, they're what? They are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and look at verse 19. It's sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the what? The cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in does what? It chokes the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So anytime we take the cares of this world, the more we feed upon, we keep looking at the news, we keep feeding on things, we keep entertaining something that's a care, it's a weight, what does it do? It chokes the word. If it chokes the word, no faith. It chokes faith because it's choked the word. So now you operate in a care, you operate in fear, you operate in worry because the word's been choked and it becometh unfruitful. And the whole point is, if you go back and you look at John 15, what did Jesus say? He said, he that beareth fruit, he that doesn't bear fruit, right? He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he does what? He takes it away. And everyone that beareth fruit, he does what? He purgeth it so it can do what? It can bring forth more fruit. So we don't want to take on cares of this world. We're supposed to cast all of our care upon the Lord, for he careth for us. Hallelujah. Because he's in me, I will not fear, because if his word is in me, I will not fear. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Sometimes we don't need a big lesson. We need to go back and just meditate on something that says, wait a minute, I've been taking on a care, a weight, a concern about something. And you can go over to Matthew 24 when it even talks about nation will rise up against nation. That word means ethnos, and you can see that today. You've got ethnos against ethnos, ethnic group against ethnic group, and it's all devilish. You know, I was thinking about this during praise and worship, as that song played, I Will Exalt Thee. these thoughts flooded my mind, and he was, I believe it was God reminding me. When God made man, he was reminding me all the things that he did. And at the end of the sixth day, he said he rested, but he said everything he made was good. It was good. It was what? Good. So that means he made you, you're good. That means you're good. I don't care what society says about you. God made you, that made you good. You're his creation, that makes you his creation, that makes you good. Hallelujah. So I don't care what people say, you know, you're this, you're that, you're this ethnos. No, God made me, that made me good. Hallelujah. And that's what he reminded me of. That let's stop thinking about what the world's attitude is, because it's infiltrated with devilish thoughts to break down, to cause something, thoughts in someone that's less than what God said. And his word is the final authority. God's creation is good. Now, it's been affected by and corrupted by thoughts that have been embraced, but his creation is good. And we need to look at people that way. That this is who? This is God's creation. And all he's telling us, look, I died for them. I love them. You go out and share with what I did. You're good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Well, let's open our Bibles just for a few minutes. That was just something to feed upon. That may have been our lesson for today. Sometimes we need to just feed upon the Word of God, and to stir our hearts, come together, worship God, let him minister to our hearts, and go home. And go out and impact society. Let's look at, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Well, let's look at 1 Timothy 6:12. And let's read that together. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So what are we supposed to fight? The good fight of faith. Not just let's fight the good fight. It has to be a fight of faith. It has to be something, and what does that mean? That means if it's a fight of faith, that means it has to be the God kind of faith, which means it has to be a fight based on the Word of God, doesn't it? Because that's where faith comes from. So this is not a natural fight. This is not something I'm trying to do in my own strength, because we know from the armor of God that our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. But this fight that we're in is a fight with our adversary. And we know that I believe it's in 1 John chapter 5 or 1 John chapter 2. It says why Jesus came into this earth. So it says he came to I think it's chapter 2. I'll find it in a moment. But he came into this earth to destroy the works of the devil, which he did. But let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm excited about this because this armor will keep us protected in every area of our life. Ephesians chapter 6, and starting in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We're going to look at these just a little bit today. We're going to read it, and then we're going to go back. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that..." Why is that? "That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So this armor that we're looking at here, and it's interesting, sometimes you want to look at the context. Let me just get over here to look at something in Ephesians 6. When you look at, you really need to read back through all of Ephesians, and then when you get down to chapter 6, "finally" means there must have been something said before, right? We all know that finally now he makes this point. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And as I shared last week, when you put something on, this armor is for what? For protection. So that means if we don't put this armor on, that we're not protected. We're subject to, or we're exposed, just like with Adam. Adam had an armor on. He had a protective covering. That's why he didn't need to wear clothes. He had the glory of God upon him. He had light. He was covered in light. He was shrouded in light. He was, as you know, in other words, you could look at it this way, another way, what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? He was transfigured into a being. He was covered. He was, what's the word? He was transformed from a natural to a supernatural covering, right? His body was, of course, he was without sin, but he was clothed in light. Same as Adam. Adam in the garden was clothed with light. He was covered. He was protected with the light. And so when he sinned, that lifted, and he had to be covered with something natural. And so the same thing here, this, if you go through and you look at all of the scriptures, what does it say? It says we are children of what? The light. We're children of the light. So we have the light inside of us. Our spirits are brand new. we're covered inside, we're covered with the light. Our spirit is made brand new. There is no sin in your spirit. So your soul has to be changed. You have to be transformed, changed in your thinking. So this armor that we have comes along with my relationship with Christ. And so this armor, it says here, to put on what? The armor of God. That means that this armor that we have is of God. So that means it's what? It's a supernatural armor. If something's of God, that means it's supernatural. It's supernatural weaponry that what? Comes directly from God. This is not natural. This is a supernatural weaponry of God. Or it says here, a more accurate translation of that is that put on the whole armor that comes from God. It's the same thing. You could say, if it's of God, put on the whole armor of God. You could say, more accurately, put on the armor that comes from God. It's the same thing. So since this comes from God, it's important that we remain in a... It's important that we don't have any unbroken fellowship with God, because that can affect something that comes from God, right? So if there's broken fellowship, then the benefits of that armor are affected. So what does that mean? If I'm walking in worry, if I'm walking in frustration, then does that affect the shield of faith? Sure does. It could. Does that affect the helmet of salvation? It could. Does that affect all the other parts, the gospel, being shod with in your feet with the gospel of peace? So all of these things, these elements of the armor that come from God have to be from the Word of God, which means if this says put on some armor, well, I'm not putting something on naturally, am I? I'm not putting a coat on, I'm not putting a helmet on. I mean, you can go through that, physical representation, but when he says put something on, that means I have to do it by faith. I've got to operate in faith. So if there's something that I've done that has broken fellowship with God, it could affect my faith. And so it could affect the benefits of this armor. So it's the armor is ours by virtue of our relationship with God. But our unbroken, ongoing fellowship with God is our absolute guarantee that you are constantly dressed in the armor of God. If there's no unbroken fellowship, you are dressed in the armor of God. It's already there. You have it. Now, when it says here, it says, put on the whole armor, and we saw that this comes from God, that you may be able. Now, that word able is derived from the word dunamis. And anybody who's studied the Bible, dunamis means the power of God, or dunamis. So it describes the explosive ability and dynamic strength of power. So this could be more accurately translated when it says, put on the whole armor that comes from God, that you may have incredible, explosive, dynamic power. What? So that you can have dynamic power to stand against. So that means that when it says that you may be able, that means that ability is his ability. That word more accurately means that when I put on this armor that comes from God, I'm able. Why? Because it's his power. It's his dynamic power that gives me the ability to do what? Stand against the activities of the devil. It's his power. It's his dynamic working in me that gives me the ability to stand. So I'm not, you know, we know this. We're not doing this in our own ability. It's his supernatural power that gives me the ability. How does all of that come? It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto salvation. So when I receive his word, when I receive him, this power becomes resident in me and becomes more, let's say, real to me as I stay in God's word. How does the power of God, we talk about dunamis, how does the power of God get activated in my life? Through what? Well, let's take a look at something. Look at Ephesians. You're in Ephesians. Look back up a few pages to Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 8. It says here, let's look at verse 7. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved. So grace, all of the benefits, everything, all of the things that were done by Jesus, it's his grace. But it's available to us through Christ. But it says, for by grace are you saved through, how? Faith. So it's through faith. So all of the benefits, everything that was provided by grace through Christ has to be appropriated. How does grace get activated in our life? How did you get saved? How did the power of God change your heart? By faith. So faith activates the power of God. And so the same thing, that dunamis power that changed your heart is that same faith that I walk in concerning the armor of God. That armor, that grace is available for me, but it has to be activated if I don't release faith. Is the power of God released in my life? Is it active? No. So I can walk in a state, or I might say a carnal state in my mind. I don't say anything. I don't talk anything. What is this? This is a good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life. Whereunto you've done what? Professed a good profession. So you've got to, as you walk through life, you've got to say with your mouth, I'm covered and protected with the armor of God. You've got these things that are working in you. You've got to release faith. Do you see it? No. Do you feel it? No. But what does it say? The word of God, I don't have the scripture in front of me, but it's, but every one of his promises are not only yea and amen, but they're my protection. They're my shield. Every one of God's promises are my protection. So, these things here, these promises that we have, as we keep feeding in God's word, it is, what does it say? Everything is tied to this loin belt of what? Of truth, which is God's word. As I meditate in the word of God, it becomes this breastplate. So if I don't have to, then why would I have a shield of faith? It's got to be by his word, and it's got to be by faith. If I don't operate in faith, that shield is down. What does that mean? Do I intentionally put it down? Maybe not, but what we do is, what do we go back in Matthew when we talked about the sower soweth the word? It says, the cares of this world entering in choke the word. So the cares can enter in and choke your faith, choke your faith in God, which does what? Cause you to put your shield down. Cause you to put your shield of faith down. Cause your feet to not be shod with the gospel of peace. No, they're shod with the gospel of worry. So you got worry, you've got all of these things going on, and they choke the word. See? So the external things, if we don't keep feeding upon the word, then it can affect how this armor operates in our life. Does that make sense? It all boils back to, it goes back to operating in the faith of God, because that's what pleases God. So this word, again, that you may be able, is more accurately described saying that you may have incredible, explosive, dynamic power. Why? Because it comes from God, and that makes us able with his ability. So this power equips us, this dunamis power equips us to be able to confront and pursue the enemy rather than to be pursued by him. This gives us God's ability to confront him. So when something comes, you go, no, I'm redeemed. No, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. He's made me his righteousness. Shields up. I've got my mind renewed. I'm not taking on cares. I'm not letting something become a stronghold in my thinking, in my life. The word of God protects me. It is my hiding place. So we say God is my hiding place. His word is my hiding place and my safe refuge. So this word, when it says to stand, when it says to stand against the wiles of the devil, this word to stand, and I'm just taking some comments that were written by Rick Renner here. He said this word is used more in a military sense. He said this word to stand is used more in a sense of, he said, to maintain a critical and strategic military position over a battlefield. So he said, this gives you the ability to stand. He said that gives you the ability to stand in a place of, as he put it, a critical and strategic place in a battlefield. So you have God's wisdom, God's thoughts, his ideas. It gives you his ability, his power to stand over in a strategic place, overseeing this battlefield. And what he said is, this means we have a responsibility to stand over the battlefields of our own lives. That's what he said. This is what this may mean here. We have that responsibility. So he points out, if you've been given an assignment, every one of us has been given an assignment or a direction by God. And his point was that this, because of that, we've been given an assignment in the body of Christ. We must stand guard and maintain a critical position over that assignment until it's been completed. So we have his ability to make sure that we complete that. And the devil's trying to do what? Corrupt it, get you sidetracked, get you off of an assignment that God has given you, or a direction. Each one of us have a call. Every joint supplieth in the body of Christ. Each one of us have a part or a function So this ability that we have is God's ability. This whole armor is of God with his ability, so that it gives us his God-like ability to come against the works of the devil in our lives. So we're not without help. We're not without his ability. So one thing I wanted to look at a little bit today, just for a few minutes, is the shield of faith. In verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, when it says above all, this particular word, the phrase above all, describes more of a position rather than importance. So we could say above all, well, does that mean the shield of faith is more important than some other part? You know, we could read that and say above all, that means it's more important. No, it doesn't mean that it's more important. It means it describes a position over the other pieces of armor. It's saying that this needs to be said, it could be better translated out in front of all or covering all. So the shield of faith is to be out front. It's supposed to quench all the fiery darts. This is to be out, it's designed to be out front where it completely can completely cover you in every situation of life. So it describes position, not importance. And of course we know that faith, it's meant to completely cover us. The shield of faith is meant to cover us from all harm. When it says above all taking, that means to take up in hand, which means that we have to take this up in hand. We have to take it, pick it up, which also means if we don't take it, that means it can be not taken, right? That means so there's a choice involved. That means we have a choice to take and pick this up and put it out front. So the shield of faith, it means to take up or take in hand. And again, it's something that's to be out front and covering all. So again, we have above all, that means position, not importance. Taking means we're to pick it up. And of course, the shield of faith. Now, wherewith, this means, it says by which. That, in other words, wherewith is better translated by which. And again, you shall be able is the same thing. Able means dunamis power. Same thing. That word able, if you look it up, or shall be able, it means dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. So the phrase would thus better be translated, by the use of this shield, you will have explosive and dynamic power. Sometimes when you start to look at this, when it says when you have this godlike ability, we're able to deal with all of the tactics and things, as it says, the fiery darts of the devil. So in other words, when your strong faith activates the power of God in your life, these two forces combined make a mighty protective shield between you and every demonic onslaught that comes. So your faith has to activate the power of God, that you may be able to take up the shield of faith, wherewith or by which you shall be able, with his power, quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So what does that mean? How do we activate the faith of God? With our words. We decree the promises of God. 1 Peter 1:5, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we are kept by the power of God through faith. So faith has got to be key here with this armor that we've got on. And when we look at Ephesians, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here, translations from Ephesians 6:16, and it says, most of all, this is the basic translation, most of all, using faith as a cover to keep off all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The New Life Translation, it says, most important of all, you need a covering of faith in front of you. Faith needs to cover you, and it needs to be out in front. The Jordan Translation, it says, above all, take the bulletproof vest of faith with which you'll be able to stop the tracer bullets of the evil one. The J.B. Phillips, it says, above all, you take faith as your shield, for it can quench every burning missile the enemy hurls at you. The Living Translation, it says, in every battle you will need faith as your shield. Every battle, you're going to need faith as a shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. The Contemporary English Version, let your faith be like a shield, and you will be able to stop all the fiery arrows or flaming arrows of the evil one. So this shield of faith, one of the things when they talk about this shield, it the writers here, the word for shield, it says it was, and here's the thing, when you look at history, you look at the pictures of a Roman soldier, they had two types of shields. They had one that was more decorative, almost like a pizza pan. You know, like these little big pizza pan. That's not going to cover you too well. You'd be toast or fried. But it was a little thing, it was very decorative. It was meant for more decoration, parades, that kind of thing. It was not for protection. It was more for looks. And then they had another shield that he said this particular Greek word that was used. See, the Holy Ghost, when he gave this to Paul, Paul knew what a Roman soldier in battle looked like. So the words that were used, see, you can get mixed up. You know, the translator said, well, they had a shield of faith. What kind of shield? You know, you could say he had a gun. Yeah, what kind of gun? Did he have a little pea shooter, or did he have, you know, a machine gun, right? So there's a big difference. And the same thing here. They said shield, this particular word for shield, was a large, oblonged, four-cornered shield. And they said the root word was really door. So it's a door-like size covering the whole soldier. He said it's like a portable wall. So that means they were protected. And when you look at pictures of the Roman soldier, that shield covered them. It covered this whole area from down here all the way up. So they, when they moved, they show pictures of history where they would move side by side, shoulder to shoulder. They put these shields up. It was like a wall. They would put their shields all the way around. So when they marched, it was like a whole moving wall coming. And then some of them would put the shields on top. So this whole thing was a protection for them to do what? Stop. As he says, stop the flaming arrows. And of course, he goes into, you know, what kind of arrows and so forth. But this wall was to protect them from the flaming arrows. And he said there were four or five different kinds of arrows. He said there were some that they dipped in some pitch and it was a flaming arrow, but he said that was one. Then they had another that they just, you know, just had a tip on it, but they had another one that was more incendiary, which was hollow. And they would fill it with a combustible material, so when they shot it, it wasn't flaming, but it blew up or it ignited on impact. So there were all different types of things that these Roman soldiers used, and they knew that what they said was, what? All the flaming arrows, this would protect it. So in what does that mean for us? Faith initiates the power of God, and this shield of faith, anything that the devil throws at us, any kind of device, anything that's scheming of the mind, anything that's meant to trip up us, to destroy us, is quenched by what? The shield of faith. That's what it's saying. So that means nothing that the devil throws at us can have what? It cannot destroy us because of the shield of faith. So when we have the power of God operating in us, it will quench it. Now, so this says here that God gives us a way of escape, so that if when we have something come in our life. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man, but God is faithful, what? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So when your shield is up and it's out front, and it quenches every temptation and every arrow. This word, wicked, or in other words, every wicked device of the devil. This means that when these arrows try to lodge in your mind, what does it mean? The shield of faith will quench that. It'll protect. So this, I think, more important for me is if we keep meditating, not so much, oh my gosh, I don't have this piece on or this piece on. That's now trying to figure all of this out from a natural standpoint. My armor is on, and I keep it on through my relationship with Christ, and it's activated by faith, and it's also activated, not activated, but it's through faith from the Word, I've activated this armor, and I keep it active without broken fellowship. So the things that we're confronted with, I guess for me, and I guess every one of us, are that there's something in your life, every one of you, that are tempted by something. Tempted by some, whatever it is. Whether it's money, life, job, marriage, whatever that is, school, whatever that is, there's a temptation, a fear, a worry, anger, hatred. And those things are like arrows shot at you to cause you to step away and to do what? Cause your faith not to operate. And so how does faith come? I'm supposed to look at the Word of God and feed upon it and cause my faith to cause my shield to be up, cause my helmet to stay on, cause my feet to be shod with peace, cause my breastplate to be in place. And so when these pieces are in place, there's nothing that the devil can throw at us that will quench or extinguish or have an impact on me. Does that make any sense to anybody? I've been impressed to stay on this for the last, couple of months. And I'm starting to see here why God is wanting the Holy Spirit wants us to be focused on this in the sense of looking at faith, looking at this armor, look what the impact of this armor has in our walk, in our Christian walk. And people are being affected or impacted by all the various things going on in this earth, in this world, and they touch us in various ways. But the main thing we've got to remember is this word is the final authority. This God armor, this God-empowered armor is our protection. So we're in this earth, and he didn't leave us helpless. He gave us a protection. And so he's given us this ability to walk through life, walk through this earth, not being impacted, but being someone who makes an impact. And so how am I going to do that? With the armor of God, with faith, with love. And so the more we keep that in our thinking, the more that we keep that in our minds and our hearts, that God is in me and I will not fear. He is my hiding place and my safe refuge. This safe refuge is the armor of God. And let's take a look at one scripture before we close. Let's look at Psalm 91. And he said, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. That means you got to express that, say it. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield. This is back to the word of God. And buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. It's not going to affect me. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Hallelujah. I will set him upon high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So I'm going to say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress and my God, and in him I trust. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And whenever your mind is perplexed, or you're running up against something you don't understand, or it's gripped your thinking and you're fearful about something, God is my fortress and my habitation. He's my safe place. He's my refuge. And in you I trust. And not only do I trust, but Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I command this fear and this oppression or whatever to leave my presence. That's the difference here. That something that Dr. Hutton pointed out, which was very accurate, that in this covenant, they were not in the body of Christ. They did not have the covenant rights extended to us through Christ. His name was exalted above every name. So now we've been given the name of Jesus to exercise God's authority and dominion here in this earth and to enforce the devil's defeat. So here, this said here, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Well, we're already delivered. We're already delivered from darkness and from the devil's oppression. But this God armor gives us, it's God's dunamis power that's at work and available to us. Why? Because of our relationship with Christ, with God through Christ. Hallelujah. So that gives us a different place, see, of dominion and authority here in this earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So as we go through this week, let's focus on the fact that the armor of God, you have it, it's on, you have to put it on. How? By faith. And you've got to release your faith-filled words. You know, you may not feel like you're very anointed or very armed, but you are. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not how I feel. You get up in the morning and you go, I want to go back to bed again. I don't feel too good today. You're still anointed and you're still powerful in Christ. And the devil would have you just crawl back in bed and just kind of waste the day away and worry about stuff. But that's just a trick. That's a device. You are not defeated. You're an overcomer. How? In Christ. Hallelujah. And you need to remind yourself of that. I do. I do it every day. I'm an overcomer in Christ. I'm not defeated, but I'm an overcomer. I've got his name. I've got his power working in me. And even though when we don't feel it, what do? I speak it. And what does that do? It activates the power of God in me and causes something to go on inside of me, doesn't it? It gets God working on my behalf. Hallelujah. You know, if we just stand by and don't say anything, if we just stand by and just, you know, as they say, let the bullets fly without speaking, then we're going to be the ones that are the recipients of it. We've got to enforce, we've got to release faith here in this earth. We've got to speak the word of God. And God takes his word and our confession of faith, and he begins to do what? Cause the word to become alive. The word has the power in it to affect something, but it needs to be spoken in faith. That's what God did. Let there be light, and there was. So we have to speak the word of God, and the power of God is released. Hallelujah. Glory to God.